Welcome to cmmayo.podomatic.com. Today's podcast is part of my series on creative writing, Techniques of Fiction, the number one technique in the supersonic overview. I've been giving a Techniques of Fiction workshop for some years now at the Writers Center in Bethesda, Maryland, Dancing Chiva in Mexico City, the San Miguel Workshops and San Miguel Writers Conference, among other venues. There are two versions, the Supersonic Overview, a 1 or 2 day workshop, and the Supersonic Overview, as for the Writers Conferences, which typically zooms by in about 1 hour. You can get a PhD in creative writing. People actually do. Shake my head at that as I may. And though I do believe learning to write is a never-ending, ever-deepening process, I also believe that because of the way the human brain is wired, the same very few but very powerful techniques have provide, and barring bizarre genetic mutations, will continue to provide the most effective instructions to the reader to form, in John Gardner's words, a vivid dream in her mind. That's what a novel is, instructions for a vivid dream. Sometimes I get all Californian and call the novel a mandala of consciousness. But whatever you call it, a novel is about providing the experience of someone else's experience. Anna Karenina's, Madame Bovary's, Scarlett O'Hara's, Harry Potter's, or what's the name of your novel's main character? How do we, whether as readers or as any human being, say folding laundry or maybe digging for worms with a stick, experience anything? Well, last I checked, we are not free-floating blobs of consciousness, except maybe when we have out-of-body experiences and or when dead. We are in bodies. We experience what we experience through our bodily senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. And I would add a gut or intuitive sense as well. So any fiction that is going to be readable, that is a successfully vivid dream in the reader's mind, needs to address the senses. The reader responds to specific sensory detail, such as the color of the sweater, the sound of the wind in the ficus, the droplet of honey on her tongue, the mistiness of the dawn, the mustiness of the refrigerator that had been left unplugged in the basement, the cottony bulk of an armload of unfolded towels, the sudden twinge of tightness in his throat just before he picked up the telephone, and so on. There are an infinite number of techniques, but this, giving the reader specific sensory detail, is paramount. Compare. He was sad. He sank his gristled chin in his hand. With his other hand, he reached across the table for a Kleenex. Compare. Poor people lived in this building. The hallway smelled of boiled cabbage and a bathroom that needed scrubbing. Compare. Rich people lived in this building. Everything gleamed, and behind her, a pair of white gloves pulled the door shut with a gentle click. compare. She disliked him. The clomp of his boots on the stairs made her grit her teeth. He ate too much. He didn't leave one crumb of that crumb cake, and then he licked the fork. Her neighbors were obnoxious. Though the hip-hop came from three houses down the block, she could feel it in her breakfast table when she put her hand on it. Here's my favorite quote about detail, from a letter by that splendid Russian writer, Anton Chekhov. In descriptions of nature, one should seize upon minutiae, grouping them so that when, having read the passage, you close your eyes, a picture is formed. For example, you will evoke a moonlit night by writing that on the mill dam, the glass fragments of a broken bottle flashed like a bright little star, and that the black shadow of a dog or a wolf rolled along like a ball. Thanks for listening. For my upcoming writing workshop schedule, more about my books, more podcasts on creative writing, as well as other subjects, and many resources for writers, including Giant Golden Buddha and 364 more free 5-minute writing exercises, I invite you to visit my webpage, cmmayo.com. Warmest wishes to you for your writing.